Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Isaiah 61, and last week we started talking about being dressed spiritually. It's important what you wear spiritually. And then on Sunday, I started ministering on what you eat spiritually. It's important what you eat spiritually. And I honestly, you know, they go together quite well, don't you think? What you eat, what you wear spiritually. And yet I didn't think of that until after the service Sunday. I thought, and wait a second, I'm preaching on Wednesday night about what you wear spiritually. Here Sunday I'm talking about what you eat spiritually. And I noticed right there, what is the Lord trying to do? He's trying to make us spirit conscious. He wants us to be more spirit conscious than conscious of our physical bodies. And really, what do you do more physically than eat and get dressed, right? I mean, that's something you do every day. You eat and you get dressed. So that's something that we are very aware of, very conscious that we need to do, and we do it all the time. Do it many times without even, you know, thinking too much about it. It's just what we do. Well, see, we need to get that way spiritually. We need to come on over and begin to realize that we're number one, first and foremost, spirits. And our spirits need to be fed just like our bodies need to be fed. There is spiritual food for us to eat. And there are spiritual clothes that we need to put on. There are spiritual garments that we are to wear. And just like you do it in the natural, it doesn't just happen to you, right? You have to put the clothes on. Clothing just doesn't fall on you, right? Doesn't all of a sudden you turn around and all of a sudden you're wearing a different outfit. That doesn't happen in the physical. Guess what? It don't happen in the spirit either. Your spirit has to get dressed. You got to put on your spiritual clothes. Because if you don't, well, that's not good. You want to get dressed. You want to get dressed before you go out. And you want to be dressed around the house too. It's not good walking around the house without anything on. True or false? Right? So you got to get dressed spiritually. I'm talking spiritually. You got to be dressed. But you got to make it happen. You got to do it. A lot of folks don't realize that. A lot of times people, when it comes to spiritual things, they think everything's just automatic. They think everything's just automatic. That you're going to, you know, if God wants to do it, he's going to do it. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. A lot of people have that kind of attitude when it comes to spiritual things. And it's just not the truth at all. And that's why most Christians are not living a victorious life, even though Jesus has provided for us victory in every area of life, right? So how many people want to walk in the victory that he has for you? Well, then you got to put on your victory clothes. You got to get dressed for success. You got to get dressed for success spiritually. Otherwise, you're not going to experience success. So notice this over here in Isaiah 61. We hit this scripture and a couple scriptures I'm going to review right now, last week. Isaiah 61, and in verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Now, we could stop right there, talking about things being automatic and you having to do something. Notice he says, I will. His will is involved in this. This is a decision that he's making. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Somebody say, joy is a choice. It's a choice. And it's something you have to put on. You have to put it on. Let's go on. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So here it's talking about spiritual garments, and it refers to them as garments of salvation. I'm reminded of another scripture over in Isaiah 12. Notice verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. Now, what did we just read over here in Isaiah 61? That he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. So salvation has garments. Salvation has spiritual garments, spiritual clothing. And clothing, of course, is something you put on. Here he says, behold, God is my salvation. So we say, God is my garments. God is my clothing, right? Because they're garments of salvation, and God is my salvation. We're to wear God. What name brand of clothing do you wear? What name brand of clothing do you wear? Look under, what's the label say? God. That's pretty good. In other words, these are clothes that he made. And these clothes are of himself. It's his very being. It's his very nature. It's his very life. It's his salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Joy draws out God's salvation. It draws God's salvation out of us, because when you got saved in your spirit. You got saved in your spirit. God is in your spirit. We are now, through faith in Jesus, we are one spirit with the Lord. And so we are to draw out of our inner being God's salvation. And how do we do it? With joy. Joy draws it out. Joy draws it out. So if you lack joy, you're going to lack in God's salvation. In other words, you're not going to walk in the fullness of God's salvation for your life, or you're not going to walk in the fullness of everything God has provided for you through the Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to draw it out. How do you draw it out? With joy. With joy. Hallelujah. So joy is connected to salvation. Now we come back in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. Really, he has provided us with the garments of salvation. That's what it's really saying there. He has clothed me. He has provided for me the garments of salvation. But how do we put them on? By greatly rejoicing and being joyful in our God. Because that's how you draw it out. You draw it out of your spirit and you put it on. You put it on. It's not just to be in you. It needs to be upon you. You're to be clothed with God's salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Let me read this from the Common English Bible again. It says, I surely rejoice in the Lord. My heart is joyful because of my God, because he has clothed me with clothes of victory. Because, of course, we're talking about salvation. We're talking about victory, right? Jesus secured the victory for us. He has secured victory for us in every area of life. So there's no reason for us to fail at anything in life. There's no reason for us to be oppressed and overcome by anything in life. We've got the victory. We've got the victory. But you can't leave it locked up in the closet. You got to put it on. Which means what? You got to get it excited about it. You got to believe it, get excited about it, praise God for it, and by doing so, you will be wearing it. You'll be wearing garments of victory. Again, dressed for success. Being dressed for success starts in the spirit. And that really is where success comes from. It comes out of the spirit. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. All right? So thank God for wearing nice clothes in the natural, but that really isn't what's going to cause you to have success in life. That's not where success really comes from. It doesn't come from the carnal. It comes from the spiritual. It comes from the spiritual. So he says, he's clothed me with clothes of victory, wrapped me in a robe of righteousness like a bridegroom in a priestly crown, and like a bride adorned in jewels. Glory to God. So thank God for these garments of salvation, which are the source of true success, safety. Again, salvation, safety, preservation, divine protection, prosperity, strength, peace, peace with God, peace with man. This is all a part of God's salvation. How many people think having peace is important? Hallelujah. To go through life peaceful, man. Go through life in total rest, calm, quiet, in your spirit, not worried, not ruffled by anything that is going on around you. Man, that's an awesome place to be. That's the place we want to be. Glory to God. And thank God we can have that. We can have that if we'll put his salvation on. And as we talked about, you can be stripped of your salvation. There is demon spirits that want to strip you naked spiritually. They want to rob you of your spiritual clothing. That's why over in Revelation chapter 16, and in 15, verse 15, Jesus warned the church. He said, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." So Jesus wouldn't be telling his church to be sure to watch and keep their garments unless there was the possibility that it could be stolen from them, right? And there's a devil that wants to steal from you. He wants to rob you. And it's not just in carnal, natural things. A lot of times when we think of the devil as a thief and how he steals from people, we immediately think of finances. We think of material things. He stole this. He stole that. First thing he wants to steal from you are spiritual things, like the word, right? He comes immediately to steal the word. That's what Jesus said. So the word you're receiving tonight, the devil, he wants to steal that thing from you. He doesn't want that word to take root in you and to grow in you. He doesn't want you to hang on to that word, because he knows if you continue in the word that you hear and actually are a doer of the word, then you're going to walk in victory over him. You're going to trample upon the devil. He's not going to have any place in your life. Right? So the first thing he comes after are spiritual things. We have to understand that. Again, many times we're so carnally minded. And we're thinking about all the natural things that is being stolen from us, is being kept from us. What about the spiritual things that we've been being kept from? Huh? We can't let him take our spiritual garments. If he can, he will. Revelation chapter 3. We saw that the church of Laodicea, they thought everything was great because they judged themselves according to the flesh, according to the outward. And outwardly, things were going apparently well for them. It said, Jesus said in verse 17, Revelation 3:17, he said, "Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Well, what's Jesus talking about here? He's talking about their spiritual condition. And now watch this. Who is he talking about here? Heathens? The unsaved? No, he's talking about his people. He's talking about church folks. He's talking about Christians. He's talking about believers. And he's saying, you guys are judging yourself according to the outward and saying, "Man, I'm rich. We got it going on. And we have need of nothing." And he's looking and he's going, "No, that is not true at all. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, these are folks that have been born again. These are folks that have experienced God's salvation. But apparently, they lost it. They lost their garments of salvation. They're not walking in the salvation that he has provided for them. They're just walking and living according to the flesh. Just according to the natural. Just according to outward things. So again, we got to watch it. We see the church at Laodicea. We can see and look at them and say, oh, look at them. Well, how about me? How are we doing? How am I doing? Right? We got to be on top of ourselves. This is what we have to realize. We have to develop this spiritual consciousness that as surely as we're good at looking at in the mirror, well, the mirror on the wall, in the bathroom, or in the hallway, we're good to always check up on ourselves naturally, and we should. Nothing wrong with that. But we need to be equally as concerned about how we look spiritually and always be checking up on ourselves. Always checking in with God. Praying in the Spirit, talking to the Lord, fellowshipping with him, and becoming more and more discerning by filling ourselves up with God's Word. God's Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The more we get a hold of God's Word, we're going to be able to discern our condition. We're going to be able to see whether or not we're clothed properly or not. Whether we're adequately fed or not. There'll be things that'll tip us off to it. We'll be able to recognize it. You might be feeling good physically, but how are you spiritually? Here he says, you're wretched and miserable. You're miserable. They don't even know that they're miserable. Because in their emotions are all responding, reacting to everything out here in the natural, and everything out here in the natural is going good. So we're happy, we're excited, we're partying. We're having a great time. Life's a party. But the real them, which is a spirit living inside that body, is miserable. Miserable. Depressed. Sickly. Broken down. And you don't want to have a broken down, sickly, miserable spirit, because that's the real you. But all of it can be overshadowed by the things in the flesh. And that's how the people in the world live. That's how people live that have never come to salvation in Jesus Christ. They live that way. They live out of the flesh, reacting to everything out here in the natural. And meanwhile, on the inside, there's people, they're laughing, they're drinking their wine, and they've got the music cranking, and all this outward joy. And meanwhile, they're miserable inside. They're miserable. They're separated from God. They're empty. There's no substance to their life. There's no fulfillment. It's just thrill after thrill after thrill after thrill. And they keep themselves going by keeping their life thrilling. But meanwhile, inside, there's no infilling. They're empty. They're hollow. And if they would just stop long enough, if they could just get quiet long enough, if they could just lay aside the party long enough and get in touch with their spirit, they would find out their true, pitiful, wretched, miserable condition. And that would make them recognize they need a Savior. They need salvation. They need a deliverer. They need help. But a lot of times folks don't stop. They don't ask the questions because the God of this world, who is the devil, keeps them busy, keeps them distracted, and he gives them all kinds of counterfeit clothing, keeps them clothed with all kinds of counterfeit things. There's real clothing that God has for us, and then there's clothing that the devil clothes people with. God wants to clothe you with boldness. And there's scripture for it. He wants to clothe you with boldness. But for boldness, the devil will clothe you with arrogance. And they can look very much alike. For boldness, he'll give you arrogance. For holiness, he'll give you haughtiness. Right? What is holiness? Set apart. Set apart. You can't touch this, right? And yet you hear these people that are separated from God, living unclean lives, sitting there going, you can't touch this. They're not holy. They're haughty. So for holiness, he'll give you haughtiness. To replace love, he'll give you lust. I've marveled that how some Christians confuse lust with love. It's an amazing thing. I won't go into detail. He'll give you lawlessness to replace liberty. A real fleshiness. You know, no rules, man. Just right. Right? No rules, just right. Looseness, licentiousness, lawlessness, fleshiness. And people confuse that with being free. I'm free. I'm free. That's not free. See, it's a counterfeit of freedom. Right? We wear the spirit of liberty. We wear the spirit of freedom. Praise God. And he whom the Son sets free is really free. Not this fake freedom. He'll substitute being filled, being spirit filled with being thrilled. He'll keep you thrilled, like we were talking about. Self-pity for repentance. People will go on and on, woe is me, I know I'm just no good, I know I'm just all that stuff, I know. But there's no repentance. They don't change. They don't turn from their ways, they don't turn to God. I know I'm just no good, I'm just unworthy. See, it's a counterfeit. See, there's that fake religion, false religion, and that's something the devil will give to, again, to appease people, to keep them clothed, right? Because nobody wants to know they're poor, miserable, and naked. They don't want to know that. They don't want to know that they're full of shame and disgrace and dishonor. They don't want that. See, so the devil has to keep them clothed with something. So he gives them counterfeit clothing. Well, bless God, we're not going to fall for that. We're not going to wear his counterfeit clothing. He'll counterfeit fruitfulness for busyness. You're not being fruitful just because you're running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Busy, 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 busy. And a lot of those things, that they're so important and they're getting so much done because they're busy. Now, busyness doesn't mean fruitfulness. Idleness for resting. Idleness for resting. People just, they're idle. They're not accomplishing anything. There's no rest. There's no rest. Oh, thank God we could be clothed with rest. The rest of faith. The rest of God's Spirit. We could wear that. We can wear rest. Praise God. Put your rest vest on. Put your rest vest on. Hallelujah. Woo, that's good. He'll substitute driven for diligence. He'll keep you driven. Keep you going. Keep you going. Keep you going. And then you think you're being diligent when you're just being driven. Just being driven. He'll substitute mentally assenting the word of God for faith in the word of God. Oh, I know the word. I believe the word. But it's all in the head. It's all in the head. It's not of the heart. He'll, of course, substitute religion for relationship. I went to church. I read my Bible. I did my devotions. Okay, great. How's your relationship with Jesus doing? It's great. I read my Bible. I went to church. I helped in the giveaway. Good. How's your relationship with Jesus doing? See, they confuse that, see, because the devil confuses that for them to keep them out of relationship with the Lord. And so they'll be clothed with religion. They'll be clothed with a form of godliness, but yet not be godly. And that's another thing. The devil will substitute godly works for godliness. He'll keep you doing godly things, and then you'll think because you do godly things, you are godly, but not necessarily. All right? So godliness needs to overflow. Godly works needs to overflow out of godliness. But you can have godly works and not be godly. That's going on in the world all the time. A lot of people doing godly works, but they aren't godly. They're not godly. So these are some counterfeit clothing that the devil would love to put on you. Maybe there's some things you're wearing tonight that you need to get off. and say, man, I've been wearing a counterfeit. I need to wear the real thing. I need to wear the real thing. I need to put on the garments he has provided for me. So here they were, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. And he said, I counsel you in verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So all these things are fixable. He's letting them know. He's not condemning them. He's letting them know, this is your real condition. Now you need to get it fixed. And here, I got things for you. Invest in spiritual things. Don't just invest in material things. Invest your money, your time, your energy into spiritual things. And I counsel you to get from me white garments that you may be clothed. Get these white garments that I have for you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:11 that the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. He thinks because he's got material things, because he's got money, he thinks, man, I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm protected. The Amplified Bible says it this way. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high protecting wall in his own imagination and conceit. See, again, we're not to have any confidence in the flesh. We're not to trust in our outward condition. We need to always be checking up on ourselves spiritually. That's where true safety is. True salvation, true deliverance, true protection. One of the reasons why we wear clothing is to protect us from the elements. We don't want to be exposed. We want to be covered. And so if we wear these spiritual clothes, we'll be covered. We'll be protected. We'll be safe. God's clothing will keep you safe. So we have to make sure we're putting it on. The truth of the matter is, we're not going to have true success unless we're truly dressed. That's just, and I'm talking about true success. Now again, the church at Laodicea, they thought they were successful. They didn't have true success. It was all superficial. It was all superficial. And probably a good trial and test coming in there could uncover all those things. But you know, we don't have to have calamity come into our life to expose our wretched, miserable, poor, naked condition. We can get these things from the Spirit of God by drawing near to Him and fellowshipping with Him. And checking up on ourselves. Having a daily checkup, praise the Lord. We can know without having to go through a terrible trial or test. But a lot of times they find out too late. Trials and tests come through and just wipe everything out. Just wipe everything out. And there they are. Unable to do a thing about it. Unable to overcome it. They're completely overcome by it. You and I don't have to be overcome by anything if we're prepared. Right? In the world, you'll have tribulation, but you can be prepared for the storm. Your windows can be boarded up. Right? Your sandbags can be all around you. You can be dressed for success spiritually, so that no matter what comes against you, you always triumph, you always win, you always come out on top of it, you always come out better than when you went into it. You always come out better in the end. And you know that. That's why you smile and have joy going through it. Because you know, God is for me. God is with me. And we will come through this thing. And you learn through the process. You just grow. Things just get better for you. You become better. When things fall apart around you, you just become better. And that's the most important thing. It's not so much what's going on around you. It's what's going on with you. What's happening to you when things go wrong? That's why I declare I don't go wrong when things go wrong. Or when things go wrong, I don't. Why don't you say that? I don't. Say it again. I don't. No, why would you? Why would you? Because you're clothed. You're clothed with righteousness. If you're clothed with righteousness, then you don't go wrong. When things go wrong, things are going to go wrong, but you don't have to go wrong. You can't stop everything from going wrong in the world, but you can stop going wrong. And that's really where life is. Your life is in you. It's not so much what's going on around you, it's what's in you. Life is in you. Live it to the full. You got abundant life in you, praise the Lord. Live it to the full. Okay? Praise God. So, Romans 13, in verse 14, it says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Notice that. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, remember, we said God is my salvation. God is my salvation, and he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He's clothed me with himself. You see, you got to understand something. Jesus didn't just give you a bunch of things when he went to the cross, died for you, and rose from the dead. He didn't just give you a bunch of things. He gave you himself. He gave you his life. He gave you his safety, his spirit, his power, his strength, his goodness, his righteousness, his love, his wisdom. He's given you himself. So all these different garments, all these different are just different attributes of God. And we put them on. In other words, we put on him. So in other words, we are to be wearing God. We're to be wearing the Lord Jesus. Wearing the Lord Jesus. Now, what do you think the devil's going to do when you come walking down the street wearing the Lord Jesus? Trick or treat. You're wearing the Lord Jesus. Now, that's a Halloween nightmare for the devil. See, the devil tries to turn everything around. He's got all these beautiful little kids running around dressed up as demons and witches and ugly things. They're all dressed up as ugly things on this day called Halloween, right? See? But in reality, you and I, the church, we are a nightmare to the devil. Because we're wearing righteousness, we're wearing holiness, we're wearing victory over the devil. We're wearing Jesus Christ. And when you walk around in those clothes, the devil, he closes his door, he turns out the light, he puts the big sad pumpkin face on the door. And he doesn't give any candy. He runs and hides. That's what he did with Jesus, didn't he? Jesus comes walking into a place, and there's, you know, they're having a worship service, and there's a guy in there who's there every week at the worship service. Nobody knew he was demon-possessed. He was full of religious demons and unclean demons. Jesus came in there, and all of a sudden this voice cried out, "Ah! What have we to do with you, Jesus? Have you come to torment us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God." That's when Jesus walks in. You're to be clothed with Jesus. So instead of you going, "Ah! Pastor, the devil's wreaking havoc in my house." Instead of that, it should be the devil's going, "Ah! What have we to do with you, Jesus?" Somebody say, demons are terrified of me. They are so afraid of us. When we're wearing Jesus Christ. Does the Bible say put on Jesus Christ? Who's this written to? Heathens? Telling the world, the lost, put on Jesus Christ and be saved. No. He's not saying put on Jesus Christ and be saved. He's saying, church, put him on. What are you doing? What are you walking around with your old garments for? What are you walking around with all that counterfeit stuff for? You've been saved. You got a closet full of clothing. Pull it out. Draw it out. Get excited about it. Rejoice in your salvation and put it on. Put on that salvation. Because just by wearing it, it's going to affect every area of your life. just by wearing this clothing, you're already setting yourself up for victory in life. You're setting yourself up for success in life. You say, well, how do I put it on? Well, I just gave you a little tip. Just gave you a little insight, right? I said something about joy and rejoicing and lifting your voice and saying something, right? Yeah, because what you say is important when it comes to what you'll be wearing. You want to put on the right clothes, which means you got to say the right things. You say the wrong things, you're reaching for the wrong stuff. I'm not just being cute. It's cute, but it's true. You're reaching for the rags, the filthy rags, when you're speaking the wrong thing. And there's a lot of folks putting on filthy rags, putting on filthy garments, putting on devil-looking stuff. And when you dress like the devil, and you look like the devil, and you smell like the devil, you attract the devil. You dress like Jesus, you don't attract devils. Devils are trying to run the other way. Right? That's what we see in the Bible. Devil tries to run the other way. Dress like Jesus, devils run. Dress like devil, devils say, hey, dude, what's cooking? Hey, let me come over your house. Right? It's an invitation to come in. You dress just like him. You got to watch what you put on. You got to watch what you say. Go back here to Romans chapter 10. And in verse 10, it says, for with the heart one believes to righteousness. Remember, righteousness is a robe, isn't it? It's also a breastplate. The breastplate of righteousness. It's armor. It's clothing. Protection. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Notice that. Salvation. Garments of salvation. How do we get those garments of salvation? Confession is made to salvation. And if you look up the word unto salvation or to salvation, it could also be translated into. So confession is made into salvation. So confession puts you into God's salvation. It puts you into the garments of salvation. Your confession. So you believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, and you confess him with your mouth, and you're saved. But it doesn't stop. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continual acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior and confessing him and what he's accomplished for you, what he's done for you. It's a constant confessing him. And as you're confessing him, you're clothing yourself with him. As you're confessing that salvation, you are tapping into it. You are putting yourself in it. You are clothing yourself with it. So we have to be confessing it. And I'm telling you, if you lighten up on your confession, then you have lightened up on what you're wearing. You're dressing too light. I mean, beach clothes are great for the beach, but they're not good for everyday living. Don't go to church in your bathing suit. Wouldn't that be kind of out of place? Would that be out of place? Now, on the beach, it's not out of place. It's perfectly normal. Totally inappropriate to church. Totally inappropriate to show up at work in a bathing suit. You're dressing way too light. Okay? Stop dressing so light. All right? That would be embarrassing. That'd be shameful. Make you look foolish. Man, you walk into work and you get your bathing suit on. You sit down at your desk, you got your bathing suit on. It's like, right? Totally shameful, disgraceful, honorable, dishonorable. I mean, look, it looked that foolish, ridiculous. You're dressing way too light. And yet that's where a lot of folks are. dressing way too light, even lighter than that in some cases. They're in bad shape. It's disgraceful. It's shameful. But they have lightened up on their confession. They've lightened up on their rejoicing and their praising God. And as a result of that, they're lightly clothed. Now, of course, worse than that is just going ahead and just confessing every kind of negative thing. Negative confessions. Because what they do is they clothe you with the wrong thing. They cover you with the wrong thing, which deceives you even further. You fall deeper into deception because you think you're covered, but you're not really covered. You're not really protected. Psalm 109, talking about clothing yourself with the wrong thing by speaking the wrong thing. Look at this in Psalm 109. Verse 18. As he clothed himself with cursing. That's not good. Can you clothe yourself with cursing? Yeah, because you clothe yourself with what you say. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. That don't sound good either. In other words, what you're wearing in the spirit is going to seep its way into the physical. It's going to make its way into the natural. And here's this guy that's been cursing at King David, apparently, who wrote this. Of course, he wrote it by the Spirit of God. But he says, as he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment. Watch it, you're getting dressed. You're putting something on your spirit. What you're saying is dressing you. And it's going to affect every area of your life because out of your spirit flows the issues of life. Notice verse 29. He says, let my accusers be clothed with shame. Well, what's an accuser? An accuser is a complainant or a plaintiff. In other words, you're not an accuser unless you're saying something, right? Accusers accuse. They speak accusations. Well, let my accusers be clothed with shame. In other words, with what they're saying. Let the shameful things that they're saying about me, let them wear it. They will wear it. And let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. Mantle is like a cloak. Again, it's a garment, it's a covering. He says, let them cover themselves with their own disgrace. So here they're speaking disgraceful, shameful, terrible things about other people, but they ultimately will wear it. See, we need to understand. There are spiritual laws that we have to understand as we go through life. We got to understand that we're going to wear what we say. We're going to wear it. Now, the good news is, just like the church at Laodicea, thank God there's repentance, right? He counseled them. He didn't condemn them. He counseled them. Repent. Get these things right and get some eye salve on and get your eyes opened up and get them fixed. You got blisters all over your eyes. Your spiritual eyes are all blistered up. You're blind. You're miserable. You're wretched. You're naked. And he's saying, but I got white garments for you. Now put it on. You just start confessing your salvation. Start confessing the truth. And if you want to be blessed, be a blessing. Speak good things. Believe good things of others and speak those good things. Don't be so quick to speak negative things because you will wear it. A little fear of God there. Right? Put a little fear of God in you. Thank God for it. Help keep us straight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But people can be clothed with shame and disgrace. They can be clothed with that. How do they do that? By the things that they speak. Now, if you can clothe yourself with cursing, then obviously you can clothe yourself with blessing. Let's reverse the curse. Come on, somebody. Somebody's been cursing maybe, huh? Thank God you could reverse the curse and start confessing the blessing. Notice over here in Isaiah 65. It's interesting. There's so many scriptures in Isaiah that the prophet Isaiah talks about in regards to clothing. I mean, there's a lot of scriptures. He talks about clothing. And I find that interesting because he was the one in Isaiah chapter 6 that was taken up. He sees the Lord. He sees the angels crying, holy, holy, holy. And then in verse 5, this is what Isaiah says. He says, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So now, Isaiah was a very holy man. He could probably wrap rings around a lot of Christians in his holiness. He was a holy, set-apart man of God. And that's why, man, when he wrote, it became the Word of God. He knew how to yield to the Spirit of God, very holy prophet of God. But here he goes up in this vision, and he sees the Lord, man. He sees things in the Spirit in their fullness. And all of a sudden, he recognizes, I'm undone. My tie's undone. My belt's undone. My shirt's undone. Everything's untucked. Everything's undone. I'm a mess. And then what's the next words he says? He says, I am a man of unclean lips. I'm undone in my dress. And I'm a man of unclean lips. My unclean lips, I didn't even know how unclean it was and how undone I was because of my unclean lips until I stood here in the Spirit in the presence of a perfect holy God with a bunch of angels and everybody that's clothed to the T. I mean, they are clothed. They are sharp. They are awesome. And look at me. I don't want to walk into heaven like that. Do you want to walk into heaven like that? I don't want to walk into heaven like that. You know, when we finally leave here, I don't want to cross over and go. Do you? And just look for a place to hide? I mean, you can't. There's no place to hide. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to walk into heaven and say, hey. You know what I'm saying? I walk into heaven, I see the angels, I see everybody go, hey. Glory to God. We can. Because we can know now. We don't have to go over there and see it. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the written word of God. We have Isaiah. Isaiah didn't have Isaiah. But we have Isaiah. You understand what I'm saying? So we learn from Isaiah. And we're able to get ourselves ready to see the King. Hallelujah. And 1 John talks about that we won't be ashamed when we see him. We don't want to be ashamed when we see him. Well, bless God, if we're ashamed when we see him, then that obviously means we've been living in shame and disgrace and just didn't know it. Just didn't know it. But praise God, if we're not living in shame and disgrace now, I got good news for you. Means you're clothed right, which means what? Which means you step out of this body, you won't be ashamed then either. You won't be ashamed there either. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. All right, so Isaiah 65, and in verse 16, it says, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hidden from my eyes. Notice that. He who blesses himself in the God of truth. You can bless yourself. And then he goes right into what you're saying, what you're swearing. Let me read this from a different translation, the Amplified Classic. It says, so it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying, may the God of truth and fidelity, the Amen, bless me. Notice that. And it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by saying. You can bless yourself. You don't have to wait around for somebody else to bless you. Bless yourself. Dear Lord, I'm not going to wait around for somebody to walk up to me and bless me before I'm blessed. In fact, by the time you've come up to me and you bless me, I've already blessed myself 100 times. That's how it needs to be, right? Bless yourself by saying, I bless myself in the name of the Lord. I call the word of God. I speak the word of God. When you speak the word of God over yourself, you're blessing yourself. And so you want to do that regularly. Let's go to Isaiah 61 again, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Sounds like he's clothed. He's got something on him, right? Sounds like he's covered. He's got something on him. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Now, the anointing in the Word of God is likened to a mantle. And we might get into that later and see some examples of it. But like Elijah and Elisha. Elijah wore a mantle, and he used that mantle. He struck the river with the mantle, and it divided, and him and Elisha walked over on dry land. And then Elisha said to Elijah, please let a double portion of the anointing that's on your life, the spirit that's on you, that's covering you, let it be on me. And so Elijah goes up in a whirlwind to heaven, and he leaves his mantle behind. And Elisha picks up that mantle, which is symbolic of the anointing, the prophet's anointing. And he takes that anointing, takes that mantle in his hand, and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he strikes the river to go back to the other side, and it splits just like it did for Elijah. See, the anointing is likened to a mantle, a cloak, something that you wear. So here he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. I'm wearing this garment. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Thank God for the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word is for all these things right here. To accomplish all these things. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Notice that when the preaching goes forth, man, it's to set captives free, it's to deliver. But notice what else it does. It gives beauty for ashes. It gives the oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that spirit of the devil, that oppressing spirit that just oppresses you and tries to suck the life out of you. That heaviness, that oppression of the enemy. And in fact, I looked up the word heaviness here in the original Hebrew language. It means dimness, dullness, darkness, faintness, feebleness. There's a spiritual heaviness, makes your heart heavy, makes your heart weak, makes your heart feeble. Just tries to just take the life right out of you. But oh, thank God for the preaching of the gospel tonight. Hallelujah. What's it doing to you? It's giving you a garment. A garment of what? A garment of praise. Well, how do I put it on? Praise. Praise. Hallelujah. Put on praise. You can't do it with your mouth closed. You can't praise. I say, come on, let's praise him. You're not dressed very good. I love your tie, but spiritually we got issues. I'm just saying. I would grab every opportunity I could to put that clothing on. See, praise is something that comes out of your mouth. And you'll be clothed with what you say. So why don't you just clothe yourself with a garment of praise? Hallelujah! I mean, there's enough things being preached here tonight. Surely you got some praise rising up out of the closet of your heart that you can put on. Hey! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You got to put it on. Well, that's how you get the devil off you. That's how you get the devil off you. Put praise on you. And joy is an oil. Isn't that amazing? I love that. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy. The oil of joy is an oil. You know? The women are all, they know what I'm talking about, right? Oil of Olay. Huh? Little oil of Olay. What does it do? It moisturizes. It renews your skin, right? Renews your skin and regenerates your skin. That's what it's supposed to do anyway. Put a little bit on there. It illuminates and brightens. Transforms your skin, praise God, while tackling aging at its roots. Why don't you put some of the oil of joy on? The joy of salvation. Put all that in your hair, give you a little shine. Come on, somebody. You got to put it on. Hallelujah. It'll make you look good. It'll make you look good. You know, there is a inward beauty that transcends the natural, transcends the physical. And there's also a spiritual wretchedness and ugliness that transcends the natural. And there's people that fix themselves up and look great in the physical, but there's something that comes through. There's something that comes through that just ruins it. Just ruins it for them. And they're not even aware of what it is. And then on the flip side of that, there's some folks, they might be a little homely. Might not have it all together, you know, naturally. But there's something that transcends it all. There's a beauty that goes... There's a beauty that goes beyond the physical. And it radiates out of the spirit. Radiates out of the spirit. And that's why Psalm 33 verse 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise, for praise from the upright is beautiful." Praise by itself isn't beautiful, but it's beautiful on you. It beautifies you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Psalm 147:1. Out of the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. It says, Psalm 147, verse 1. "Praise the Lord, for he is good. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful." Praise is good looking. Praise is attractive. Now, don't praise to be attractive. That would be really vain. But I'm just letting you know that if you genuinely praise God, if you genuinely praise God, there'll be an attraction that'll come out of you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Makes me want to praise him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Get all you can while the getting's good. Get some of that oil of joy on you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because it's not just physical. We're not just talking about a physical beauty. There's a beauty that's deeper than the skin. I said there's a beauty that's deeper than the skin that people can be attracted to, and they're attracted to Jesus. And don't you want people to be attracted to Jesus? Thank God people can be attracted to Jesus. They need to be attracted to Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.